more of Lake Effect. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. If you have bought or sold a house recently or just looked around at the forest of for sale signs around town, you know the Milwaukee real estate market is hot right now. Demand is outstripping supply in many parts of town. And so with prices reflecting that phenomenon, there are many buyers who are looking at fixer-uppers, houses that are priced a little lower but could use some improvements to feel more like home.
At the same time, the questions for sellers is, how much work do you put in before you put your home on the market? We're joined in the studio by Ron Klassen, owner of Klassen Remodeling and Design, and by Amy Curler, chair of Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So, Amy, what is the health of the housing market here in Milwaukee right now?
It is good. We have a very strong market. Houses are moving quickly. One of the things we are looking for is some more inventory. We could actually sell more homes if they were on the market. That is the one thing that's kind of driving the quickness, is that once something comes on the market, the buyers are kind of clamoring all to see it and to put their offers in.
Yeah, I've heard of some houses having offers 10, 20 over asking before anyone even steps foot in the house.
Yep, that can be the case.
Which, yeah, seems kind of insane sometimes, but what is driving this shortage of stock? Is it people who are living here locally already ready to make that investment to buy, or do we have a bigger population of people coming to live and inhabit Milwaukee?
We have a little bit of both. We do have some of the millennials starting to hit the market. They're kind of achieving their first jobs and earning more income, so they're ready to purchase. We do have the typical upsizing and downsizing. So we have a lot of buyers on the market, but we have a few less sellers ready to go because they're kind of considering, well, where do I go next? And so they have that hesitation before they're putting the home on the market.
And with such a short supply, obviously there's been a lot of price inflation. So what would you say is a good median number of what some houses are going for? And if you want to list a couple neighborhoods even to kind of show that it's a big range, I suppose.
It is. It's a really big range. So it would be hard to pinpoint because it is home by home. But most houses, if they're in good condition, are selling at asking or over. And condition does play into it. And I think some of the things we're going to be talking about today, that buyers really are looking for the house ready to move in. They've been watching your HGTV and love all of those updates, and they'd really prefer for them to be done when they move in.
Right. And, that's a perfect segue into one of my questions. But do you find that people, don't have a complete or realistic picture of what it will take to not only just make a home purchase, but to buy a home that needs work to be done, when we have so many shows showing the simple, easy ways to remodel your home all within 30 minutes? How has this influenced people's expectations or maybe even caused some negative outcomes for them?
Yeah, I will turn some of that over to Ron, but it is absolutely true that there is an expectation on the buying end that it looks good. Or if they're going to jump into it, doing it themselves, they I think, sometimes overestimate their ability.
Yeah, and the cost factor. I think that there's times when those things are kind of downplayed on those shows, and it does lead to some unrealistic expectations as to what that dream kitchen or that gorgeous, spa-like bathroom is going to cost them. And yeah, it can be a real sticker shock issue if they find out too late. We try to help them understand the reality of the situation before they get too far into that process, if we can. And we can point them to, there's actually a document available online from Remodeling Magazine called the Cost Versus Value Report that you can download for the Milwaukee region, and it'll tell you what the average expenditure was last year for various projects, and it'll tell you what was involved in those. And sometimes we'll send them to that and say, hey, you might want to just scope through this a little bit first before you get too far into this. We just hate to see people get themselves too deep in.
Right, you rip it down to the studs and you can't go any further.
Right. Yeah, budget's gone and you don't have a sink left,
Right. So, what are you looking for if you're walking through something? And what are some warning signs? What are some good signs of, like, yes, this has potential? I mean, every project is never hassle-free. It's never as straightforward as people would like to think they will be, unless you're putting a coat of paint on a wall. I'd say that's the most straightforward project you're going to have.
Most of the time.
Yeah. So in your experience and what you've learned to spot, what are some things that buyers should be looking at?
Well, I think the big thing, there's a number of realtors in the area, and if you know one that you trust, we suggest that they talk to them. But someone like Amy is very knowledgeable and very honest about, yes, you could buy this house, but if you're going to redo this kitchen, you're probably going to need to speak to someone like us or one of the other remodelers in town. And you're probably going to be a little surprised at what it might cost you to do that. And you could try to take it on yourself, but then there's some issues. You know, do you really have the time? Do you have the capability? You know, those kind of issues.
It's true. And the Realtors Association actually does have some statistics and surveys about what remodels get the most money in return, mm-hmm. and also which create the most value for a new buyer or for themselves. For themselves, we call it the joy report. So for instance, on the interior projects, a complete kitchen renovation is very high on the list. It's a 10 on a 10 for a joy score for people that are living in it now. But it's also very high on a new buyer looking for this if they're going to sell the house. And according to our statistics, you would get 62% back out of what you put into that remodel. So that one really is kind of high on the scores for interior projects.
Mm-hmm. What are some other areas that are quick, not necessarily easy fixes, but main things that sellers and buyers are looking to accomplish?
Yep. The kitchen upgrades or full renovations are huge. Another thing that's pretty interesting and easy is if you have a hardwood floor now, refinishing a hardwood floor is really high on the score of what buyers are looking for. And it also adds a lot of value. You're looking at 91% return on investment for that.
Now, Ron, I imagine when you and your company come in to start working on a project, you probably come across some of the worst easy fixes or repairs that previous owners have done. What are some examples of that?
We see a lot of, especially in older homes, we see a lot of cases where they've painted the cabinets and, you know, they're not aware necessarily of the preparation techniques it takes to get paint to stick to cabinets. And so the paint is in trouble and it's kind of not very attractive. So then the question is what's the best fix for that? You know, the proper prep and the stripping and all that sort of jazz, or would it be better to just, you know, bite the bullet and replace the cabinets perhaps, you know? But again, I keep going back to this, that we would want to have a realtor involved to say, okay, in this neighborhood, yes, that would definitely pay for itself. Or no, right now, you're not going to get your money back for 3, 4, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it might be. And then we'd be trying to help the client understand that, or yeah. prospective client, that we'll go this way.
I think that's really true, because if you're looking in a neighborhood that you want to purchase and remodel a house, or you're in your house and you want to remodel it to stay, you don't want to be the most expensive house on the block. So, you know, if no one else in that neighborhood has granite or, you know, the really nice fancy garage door, hardwood, you kind of have to suit the neighborhood as well, or you're not going to get the return on your investment back out.
Well, and one thing that could be difficult, kind of on the opposite spectrum, we have a lot of great old housing stock here, mm-hmm. and sometimes people will come in and gut it and make it look totally modern on the inside when buyers maybe are looking for that classic bungalow look, or they want the stained hardwood. They don't want painted over white with gray walls, you know. Mm-hmm. Do you find that there's some reversal projects, so to speak?
Yes. Yeah. And it's a gentle blend, because a lot of people that want those beautiful old homes want to keep some of that integrity and have the modern twist. So mm-hmm. that is where Ron would come in to say, okay, this is what would make sense and cost-wise and in aesthetics.
We see a lot of 60s and 70s reversals.
Well, and Ron, often we see reports about the number of construction jobs that can fluctuate as the economy does well or does poorly. Do you find that it impacts the remodeling industry in the same way?
Oh, absolutely. New home building is at one of its lowest paces in a number of years because so many people, so many tradespeople left the industry after the big recession, and they're not coming back. And so we're all fighting for a much smaller trade labor pool, and that's making it a challenge to complete, whether it's a remodeling project or build a new home or whatever. It's really been a latch spot for us.
Mm-hmm.
If I might, shameless plug for kids getting into the trades. Kids today are graduating from college with hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt, and they might not even be able to get a job in the field that they, quote unquote, trained for. Whereas kids that go into trade schools are, you know, they're walking out of school without any debt, and they're able to step into a $50,000, $60,000, $80,000 a year job just like that. So just a little plug for that, encouraging people that hey, it's a great field.
Well, and it does play into the whole, not necessarily dilemma, but why people are going into fixer-uppers in the first place, because money is an option, right? Mm-hmm. But whether people think they're handy or are actually handy is another factor. But when a project goes awry, they do need to call on tradespeople. And if there is a shortage of tradesmen or qualified tradesmen in the area, how does that impact the pricing of fixes and repairs and remodeling?
It has caused the labor rate to rise somewhat. It hasn't been horrific. It's not like people have doubled or tripled their rates. But they know that they could charge a little more, and they were suffering from a little wage deflation because of the price pressures during the recession, which lasted so long. So there is a little bit of that. The big thing is the timing. So if somebody is looking at remodeling a kitchen before they sell it because they can get more than if the realtor looks at it and says, you'll get more than you put in, we've actually seen that happen, they're going to wait 6 weeks for qualified carpenters to come and replace the cabinetry. So that's the reality today, and it's kind of tough to deal with sometimes.
Right. And I imagine there's a big mix of, you know, people want to be getting housing stock. There's a lot of people looking for houses. And then there's a lot of sellers who think, okay, it's the right time to sell, but then they make all these changes. And don't you get that regret? Like, yeah. Oh, it's actually really nice in here now. I want to live here.
They do say that. They say their house looks the best right before they're about to sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is a shame. And what do you guys find that are some fixes that are relatively simple and affordable but can give homeowners or sellers the best return of investment? I imagine like plumbing and electrical, those are obvious like very big projects that can run the gamut of cost and run into obstructions. But what are some good like relatively easy cosmetic repairs that even someone who feels they're not very experienced or handy,
yes,
if they have the time, can accomplish this?
Yeah, so we touched on it earlier. The biggest number one thing is paint. Just getting a good clean coat of paint on the walls brightens and freshens everything up. Declutter. Everybody can do that. You know, just declutter. It really makes a big difference. You know, open up the closets. Very simple, inexpensive things like that. Changing out a front door is really big.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a huge difference on your drive-by appearance and also for sound and quality inside the house. Those are a few things. Front lawn, front landscaping, those are easy fixes and not too expensive.
Garage doors, actually, are also on that list. You mentioned electrical and plumbing. There's so many cool things out today now because of LED lighting. You can install under cabinet lighting and get it powered up without as much difficulty as you had to before. They now make a device that looks like a recessed can light that fits into the drywall of a ceiling. And it doesn't take very long to install. You don't have to take any ceiling down. You don't have to, you know, for a qualified electrician. So that is not a major investment. And one of the things we see in older kitchens is the lighting is pathetic. There was one light in the middle of the room and one light over the sink, and that's all you had. So to add a few of these, you know, pseudo-recessed LED fixtures is not an expensive thing, but it really brightens up a space. And plumbing, you can, you know, changing out some faucets, especially if they're leaking or the finish is degraded or anything like that, that's not an expensive mm-hmm. proposition, but it can make the difference in a kitchen.
In the kitchen, too, door pulls, the hardware on the cabinets, mm-hmm. changing that out.
So relatively straightforward, inexpensive things. You know, definitely not going to run the same bill as a whole kitchen demolish project or anything like that.
Absolutely.
Amy, earlier you mentioned that there's a lot of groups competing for the same market right now. We have millennials looking to buy their first home. We have baby boomers looking to downsize into the similar size home. Do you find that both parties or anyone, a good amount of buyers regardless, are motivated and knowledgeable enough to take on these kinds of projects, whether, you know, they are looking to downsize and just want to make a space more comfortable for their foreseeable future home or even if it's a first home?
So motivated, yes. Knowledgeable, maybe not as much. Again, it's an unusual market where a lot of the people looking to purchase really are hoping to have those fixes done before they get there. So it's the sellers that kind of need to look at what do we need to do to get the house sellable. So then are they qualified and motivated? Usually they are motivated because they want to move the house. And of course, on the internet, there's lots of videos of how to. So they can get some instruction on, you know, the simple projects. Definitely would recommend a professional if they're looking at the big ones. Because that is another thing that we as realtors can tell. When we walk into a house, we can tell if it's not been done professionally. There are some telltale signs.
What are some examples of that?
Cabinets that aren't secured or wobbly or uneven. Plumbing that's not secure, might have leaks or drips. You can tell it's a new faucet, but it's not working properly. Yeah, just different things that can kind of point out that this was a DIY.
Now, many people are choosing fixer-uppers nowadays because of cost restrictions. But what other arguments would you two make to encourage making this investment?
It's the American dream. So it is the best investment for your money, but it's also about quality of life. If you're living in a neighborhood with other families and people tend to take care of them better than, for instance, a rental. So your lifestyle is better in a neighborhood, in a family home or first-time home. It's quality of life.
On the other side of it, if you renovate, you get to make it your own. You get to make it the way you want it. And again, realtors and others are oftentimes called in to make sure that making it your own doesn't make it unsaleable to anybody else. But on the other side, we have a lot of seniors that are looking to either get out of a, you know, two-story colonial that they can't maintain or they can't do the stairs so much anymore, and they're trying to get into ranch homes and things like that. So there are some simple things that they can do. Again, back to lighting is big and all that sort of jazz. But the key there, though, is to understand the need and kind of steer them in the right way and then help them figure out what's the best approach. Is it better to move into a facility or a community where all of the housing is already prepped for them, or renovate the house that they have now to make it livable for them? There's no right answer to that question. Every case is different, but again, I think there's a partnership here that works really well when you have the realtor, the client, and maybe someone like ourselves, depending on the situation, you know, kind of having a conversation about what makes sense here. You know, the factor of the neighborhood, factor of the family, and then the needs.
Well, Amy Curler and Ron Klassen, I want to thank you both for coming in today and sharing some of your insights.
Thank you, Audrey.
You're quite welcome. It's been great.
Amy Curler is chair of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors. Ron Klassen is owner of Klassen Remodeling and Design, which is a member of NARI, the National Association of the Remodeling Industry. You'll find links to more about buying and selling fixer-upper homes at wuwm.com.